Podnuts was nominated for Best in Tech Podcast for this year's Podcast Awards. To win, all we got to do is from now to October 27th, go to podcastawards.com, vote Podnuts as your favorite tech podcast. It's a little button you click, do it once a day. Let's win this thing. Thanks, guys. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 329. The show about computer repair. It's by computer repair technicians for computer repair technicians. We give tips and tricks and computer repair nuggets of information. And just even it could even go as far as just anything in the computer field. You know, we try to keep it broad and just give you the best information we can and mix it up and keep it interesting. And we do that by having technicians and business owners come on the show and impart some good stuff to you. Again, tonight is no different. For the first time on Podnuts Daily, we have Greg White from FixMyPC99.com. What's up, Greg?
Hi, Steve. I'm glad to be on Podnuts. I've only started listening about 3 or 4 months ago, but have worked my way back through about 100 hours of Podnuts Daily shows.
Nice. Gosh, 100 hours. I guess that roughly translates into 100 shows?
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn. That's a lot of
speaking. I'm back now to before you move to Florida.
Really? That must be an interesting trip of going back in history like that.
It is. And you know, I thought at some point in time I would run out of useful things, you know, because the information would be too dated. Not so. I'm going to keep going back as far as I can and pick, because I pick up several things out of every show.
That's a good thing to say.
No. Well, I'm supposed to know a little bit.
No, that's great. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think a lot of people would be concerned, like, oh, I don't want to go back a year or whatever. It's just not going to be up to date. But you said it, so you're hearing it. So that's good. I guess the shows have some lasting power.
Yes, they do.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your business?
All right. I guess I ought to start by just saying that the first computer I ever used was an HP. It was a monochrome green screen CRT running DOS. I don't remember the version. The program I had to master was SuperCalc, I believe. I was working in a Fortune 500 company. I was an audiovisual manager, and I was told that all of a sudden my department was going to be cost recovery, and I had to do everything on the computer. I never had touched a computer before.
You went from audiovisual to cost recovery?
Yes, so cost recovery for my unit, my department.
Right, I see.
So, you know, before we just had an internal budget, but the company was experiencing economic troubles, and so they wanted to make sure it was cheaper to have all of us geeky photographic artistic people around than to hire somebody outside that, you know, they didn't have to pay insurance on and stuff.
I see. That sounds interesting.
My whole reference, because at that point in time in the early 80s, IT was confined to the accounting and payroll department where the mainframe was. So my whole support network was a shelf of books that were HP about how to use the computer.
Really? That's awesome. Back in the day. So you're running DOS.
Yeah. So I had to become kind of a support people for person for the people that couldn't get it, didn't want to sit down and go through all the material.
Did you like doing that?
Yeah, it caught on, because then I had to buy a computer for home, which was a Commodore 128. I didn't want the Wedge that was the 64, so I actually had an internal hard drive. And then the first computer I bought when that company that I was working for ended up having a Black Friday and laying off a third of its corporate headquarter staff people, why I formed a video production company. So I bought a Mac 128, and we did our scripting and all our production stuff as far as the paper stuff on the Mac, the original Mac.
The Mac 128.
Yeah.
That's the one, that's the original Macintosh?
That's original. Came out in 1985. I bought one of the first ones out.
What'd you think about that?
Yeah, well, you know, you turned it on, you got the little smiley face, you know, and everything ran, you know, if you had to buy the second external floppy drive so that you could have the application on one disk and then save your files to the other floppy.
Right,
you know?
Right. Wow. So that's awesome.
And I became a master. One of the programs I picked up that was games. I'm not a gamer, but I became a master at Mac Attack, which was a tank battle game that ran on the 128.
Really? Now, the Mac 128 was just a one button mouse, right? Black and white screen, right?
Right. Monochrome screen.
Sweet.
Yeah. And when we upgraded it to you wanted more memory, the 512, I had to go back to Apple in California because they had to open up and gut it and put in the new guts.
Really?
Yeah. Jeez. It was not user upgradable.
Oh, man. I wonder if Steve Wozniak was actually installing memory back in those days.
I've still got Mac 128.
Do you? I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm not sure. It's in storage. I'll have to get it out and see if it will even start up. I noticed the last time I peeked in the box, the case was a little yellow.
Yeah, I'd be worried. I'd be almost afraid to start it off. That's neat, though. It's a nice little piece of history right there.
Anyway, I've been doing it for about 28 years, one kind of or another.
It's commendable. Awesome.
So that brings me, I guess, to why I wanted to come on the show, don't you think?
Yeah. Tell us.
Well, excuse me. I was really had gotten totally out of PC support several years ago. If you hear a knocking at the door, that's people hitting the website. We'll talk about that in a minute here.
Okay.
So I don't know. I have to look, but it sounds like I've had about four people land on the website since the show started.
You mean fixmypc99.com?
Yes. Yes. I've got live chat that I'll tell you about, and it monitors the people. I can tell you where they're coming from, what version of Windows they're running or you landed on the website a couple of days ago. And I saw your Florida city. I can't think what it is.
Brandon.
Yeah, and it was about 10 minutes after you sent me, or 5-10 minutes after you sent me an email.
Yes.
And I think you must have gone to the website. And I said, who would be running a Mac and landing on a PC repair site? I started thinking about it. I go, that's got to be Steve.
You were right. And if you heard it just knocking now, it's because I just went to your site now.
Oh, okay. And someone's asked for a chat request that's outside of the regular chat program. So whoever it is, I'm sorry, I'm not going to answer it right now. We're busy.
Yes, thank you.
Trying to get back on topic so I don't wander too far. I was worried about getting it all in and then I'm wandering off topic here and elaborating way too much.
It's okay.
But I had been out of the business, went through a change in my marital status about a year ago and needed to double up my income real quick. Because I had really, over about 5-year period, gotten to where I was just doing online e-commerce stuff.
Okay.
Not eBay. I had moved off eBay. It's too expensive. And was just doing some web stores that were, you know, regular web stores. And so I said, well, I guess I can go fix PCs. And through a friend, I actually got hooked up with working with a company that had nonprofit senior housing, and they had all these internal services, internet, cable TV, telephone, and everything that they needed support. And of course, they were on a budget.
Of course.
So I went in for a year and serviced their facilities and kind of got them taken care of. But it was about middle of this year when I really said, well, you know, I need to go the next step, and I don't fix laptops. I have never wanted to open them up. I just didn't like the idea of prying apart plastic cases.
Yes.
And so I was doing some research for tutorials or training on repairing computers, and I came across PodNuts.
So you came, did you come across the laptop repair videos first or the PodNuts website? Did you?
Yep.
I always wonder how many people buy the videos and then get introduced to PodNuts. I think a lot of people who bought the videos don't even know that the podcast exists. And I was thinking about sending out a bulk email to them, but it's good you found it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I saw this PodNuts logo and I figured, what does PodNuts have to do with video training? So, you know, curiosity, I had to backtrack to your true main site.
Good, good.
So anyway, that's where I found the audios. And I started saying, man, because, you know, you've got all the podcasts. I didn't even realize you were archiving some of the video stuff on your website until today when I was looking around, because I just found the audio link and I'm really a Linux guy. So I took GPodder, which is a podcast program for Linux, and just queued up your feed and started downloading and listening.
Sweet. And so did you start off with PodNuts Daily or PodNuts or which one?
I started out with PodNuts Daily. I don't know really why. And I'm sticking with it until I get to the end.
Nice. That's great. That's great. I'm glad you found it. And now you're on and you're sharing with others.
Yeah. Well, it was going through all that stuff. One, I no longer felt alone, which was a tremendous relief. You know, because we basically work by ourselves.
Right.
When you're running a one-man shop, this business is really easy to get into.
Yes.
And, you know, and it's easy to walk away from and come back to.
Right.
So it's a great fallback, but the advantage of that also means that we have a lot of extra competition too, because the skills are relatively easily attained. And there, you know, really aren't any licensing requirements or anything to do or to work in our business.
Right.
So I started listening as I got in about 20 hours or so. I started seeing some general themes and I changed my opinion on where I wanted to go with my business. And wanted to really try to develop a business that would prototype maybe some things that most of us aren't doing now, and that maybe we could employ to make us more competitive and be able to stand up with some of the big guys that are coming to the mock market, you know, the box companies and the other stuff.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. So, that's me. I'm sorry. I got to go back and look at my notes here.
What kind of stuff, if you don't mind getting into it, like what did you mean by prototyping, like trying different things or?
Well, one of the recurring things I heard was the fact that, we all, if we're a one man shop, if we go out and do mobile repair, and most of us, it's mobile repair is the easiest way to go. I mean, I live in Gainesville, Georgia, which is 50 miles northeast of Atlanta. And I live surrounded by Lake Lanier. And Lake Sidney Lanier is the largest man-made lake in the country.
Okay.
So to the south, to the east, to the west, I got lake around me. So I live on near the dead end of a dead end road that's 8 miles from town. And no bridges except for one way in and out.
Are you serious?
It makes it really, really nice down here. You know, there's no street traffic. The biggest thing we have is because it's a very large lake, over 30 miles long, and it's unlimited horsepower. On the weekends, they will get boats as big as the cigar boats that they run in the Keys out on the lake. And, of course, when they're running V8s wide open, why you can't hear them coming up and down the lake. But other than that, no airport nearby, anything like that. So lots of wildlife sounds, but not much else.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's Gainesville, Georgia. All right, I got to check this out on the map. But go ahead. I'm going to pull up on the map as you're talking.
So anyway, having people come to my house is just not practical. The people, when they get out here, because of all the dead-end roads, you know, you have one artery coming in and then everything fingers off of it. People get down in here and they'll spend half an hour trying to figure out how to get back out. They get turned around because the roads are are twisty. They're not straight.
Right. You know? What an interesting place this looks like. Because that lake is just branched out. It's not like a big, it's not like a great lake. You know, it's like just branches.
Well, there's the Chattahoochee forms one. It's kind of a Y-shaped. And the Chattahoochee River forms one leg of it. And the other side of the Y is the Chesedee. And I live between the two. The two channels meet south of my where my road dead ends into the lake. So yeah, so right in about the center of the screen is where I'm at.
I gotcha.
We're right in the center of the map there.
Very cool. Neat.
So
place.
Gainesville is you know, to the east and south of me.
So that's where your customers are, basically going into town.
So I have to go north and then back down to Gainesville.
Gotcha.
Or I can go north and then go west and then go back down the other side of the lake. And there's two main arteries that run up, you know, not along the lake, but you know, on each side of the lake that are four-lane highways that are the arteries for all the bedroom communities that exist up here. And there's a lot of people, even though we're 50 miles away, that commute into Atlanta or the northern suburbs from here.
I see.
So anyway, getting back to my business, to go into Gainesville, I did some research before the show, and I came up with about a dozen independent computer repair guys in Gainesville. Cool. And Gainesville is only about 38,000 people.
Okay.
The county is about 188, but still, there's a lot of guys that have their shingles hung out. And are in homes or storefronts that are in the downtown area. So, unless I want to go in and, spend more money than what I feel is reasonable for one person to have to earn to pay for the rent, I need to, you know, do the mobile service and repair.
Sure.
And so, but, you know, we have the problems that, you know, we can use Google Voice and we can forward calls to our cell phone and that stuff. But, I've heard repeatedly over 100 episodes, people, bringing up the fact that they don't really have any idea, how many people are hitting their website that they never hear from.
Okay.
You know, they don't know if you know how many people they're losing.
Right.
And so I thought after listening to this that if I was going to spend the money, work out of my home and spend the money on Google AdWords, not have anyone come to my home and have to do all total on-site work, that I wanted to try to do something to make sure I was maximizing the people that were hitting my website, and that was to do live chat and do, you know, be able to have people, you know, contact me right where they're on my website.
Right, right.
Yeah. So that's the technology I've looked into and I brought forward. The problem that I immediately, you know, knew that I was going to have, if I'm sitting and trying to monitor my website and convert everyone that comes to my website into a customer, then I was going to have problems then getting out and doing the mobile service work.
Right. Makes sense.
So I immediately contacted a guy that we'd both worked on a large technical help desk about 12 years ago. And he had contacted me around the first of the year, and I got back in touch with him around, this fall, and said, hey, you know, I want to build this website and I want to do service and repair work and I want to do live support, but I'm going to need help manning the website and doing the mobile service work. And, you know, what are you up to and are you busy? And, Eric said, well, I think I'm game for it. So then for me, it was full speed ahead. What technology do I need to get embedded into the website and to my home network to be able to allow two people to work from their own homes, communicate with each other, communicate with the customers, and book and track all this work the same as if we were sitting on a corporate head help desk down in Atlanta.
Okay.
So.
And did you come up with something?
Yeah, I have. I have. I really ended up finding off the bat when I started looking for an email ticket system was Com 100, and that's a website, com100.com.
Right.
And they have a chat email ticket system. And if you can hear the knocking on the when they hit the website, the sound you get is a door knock.
Right.
And so if you're picking that up off of the microphone as people are hitting the website, I've embedded that code into every page. And so when they land on the page and I have the visitor monitor open from COM 100, it shows me the IP address they're coming from, what OS they're running, what browser they're running, what their screen resolution is, what page they're on, what referring page they came from, all that good information.
Oh, that's great information. And then what do you do when you get a knock?
Well, I've got it programmed. The COM 100 website, by the way, the service is free. That was the part I like the best. When you're starting out, I don't care how long you've been in the business, when you're changing gears and your income is down because you're redoing everything, you need to find as many sources and resources as you can that are affordable. So the COM 100 service is free, and it's a pretty comprehensive program, I think, for the price. And I programmed it so that after they land on the website and are there for a minute, it'll pop open an extra little window that says chat on it. I need to add a little bit more message to it, something about, would you like to chat now? But so the whole idea is I'm prompting them just as much as I can to start interacting with me when they're on the website.
Right. Right.
I can also send a chat request that would pop open the button, but since it does it automatically, and I opted for that because it will then chase them around the website, that little window, until they close it.
Really?
Yeah.
But now, how did you get around the problem of having to monitor your system? You said you got somebody else to look at the website as well?
Well, I'm right now. I went live a week ago, last Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
I've been manning the website 12 hours a day. I can't get out of earshot of the laptop.
Jeez.
But I want to do 8:30 to 8:30, and we'll go into the reasons a little bit later.
Okay.
And I want to do 6 days a week. I want to try to monitor the site as much as I can. And that ends up being about 72 hours a week. So that would be what two people could comfortably do and then still maybe do some on-site work as need be.
I see. So you want to have somebody, your goal is to have just somebody man the website and just no matter who comes knocking on your door, they can start a conversation with them?
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly. And I'm offering really four features. There is another way you can email me, and it's a form, and it's actually part of the COM 100 website called Email Ticket. So they fill out the form, and you design what parameters you want as far as name and email, and you know how much information you want them to fill out. And they fill out the form, and then that creates a open ticket for you to respond to. And so to try to get people to make sure they're using the website, and I'm capturing everybody I can, I'm going to do free email support.
I see. Wow.
And then, yeah, go ahead.
That's interesting.
Well, you know, there are some parameters to it that I describe, but basically the free email support is if you're trying to do something by yourself and you don't know what resources, where to go to find out. We'll supply you with the information to get you going again. We're not going to fix it for you, but we'll get you, point you to the tools you need to be able to resolve yourself. So if they got a virus, we'll suggest the programs that we would use.
And this is just in the hopes of retaining them as a customer if they need more help?
Just creating a positive feedback and contributing back to the internet community.
Gotcha.
I have been on expert websites for a number of years where people go in and ask for help, and I get emails, and I pick through them, and the stuff that where it appears that they're looking to try to solve the problem themselves, I'll sit down and give them some tools so that they can try to solve it themselves. So what I'm talking about doing on my website is something that I've already been doing for a number of years.
I got you. Now, is this your full-time business right now?
I mentioned that I had e-commerce websites.
You still have them? You still have them?
So yeah. Okay. Because I had gotten really lazy over the last 5 years. As the economy turned down, I didn't try to grow the sites. I just, right. Took less income because I was working on remodeling my home.
Okay.
And so all of a sudden, when my income, or well, when income from a second partner, my wife disappeared, I had to come up with another alternative. So the e-commerce doesn't pay all the bill. I have to make money off of Fix My PC 99.
Gotcha. Just curious.
Yep.
Okay.
So we were talking about how we do it, how we embed the technology. One of the things then I want to do besides free email is the live chat is built right in there. So I want to actually do chat, and I would support by chat. There would, I'll chat with somebody for up to 5 minutes, and then are they, wanting to hire me, or, are they just wanting to chat? And so if we go into a chat desktop support, it would be chat with some remote viewing if I need to be able to assist them remotely. And that's designed to be not more than 30 minutes of support because it's a flat fee.
How much do you charge for that?
$24.
Gotcha.
And then there is phone support, and I call that Quick Fix. And that's supposed to be 15 minutes or less because I'm tying up all my resources when I'm on the phone. When I'm doing chat, I can still multitask to some degree.
Right.
So Quick Fix is supposed to be to help you with anything. You don't know where the wires get plugged into, stuff like that. You call me up, and if we can, if I think I can get you fixed up within 15 minutes, we'll do a phone support and answer your questions.
Gotcha. That's interesting.
And then remote support is going to really be remote assistance is going to be what I think is going to be our big one, and I'll go into why we're going to put most of our focus in that. It has to do specifically, I think, with the market I'm in and the way Google AdWords work. So we'll get to Google AdWords words in a minute. But we're the remote support, and I picked $49 for that. I know I'm not in Minneapolis. I'm not call that girl. So I don't think I can get by with $80 an hour, whatever she charges.
Gotcha.
Because the demographic is about medium household income for my area is $38,000.
Okay.
So it's not a fat market.
No, it is very location specific.
And then on site is still $99. So.
All right.
So those are kind of the flat fee. And when I actually built the website and then got in, I've got to have an hourly rate. So I made the ad. So I kind of had said that, the remote should be, I'm capping it as 2 hours unless there's as a session, if I'm doing a get in, you know, it's got a, the antivirus has to run for half a day. Well, then, you know, that's the way it goes.
Right.
But I, you know, I don't want to tie up more than about an hour of my time, and I hope to get out of a session within 2 hours altogether. So, $49 is where I'm at with that. And I kind of came up with the fact that, I really need to be making, $45 to $50 an hour. So my hourly rate, if you just want me, is going to be set at $48. So a commercial job, that's what it's going to be. And that way, if I get out on a remote site, I hear guys get out there and some of them aren't really sure to handle how they're going to get out. So if I've got these flat fees for specific services, but you want me to sit there and watch the screen, you know, watch the paint dry, then we're going to, after 2 hours of being on site, I'm going to say, hey, you know what, we need to go to an hourly rate because you're wanting me to sit here.
Right, right. That makes sense.
So I've tried to take everything that everyone has talked about over the last year or so and try to incorporate it into how I'm redesigning my business.
I gotcha. It makes sense.
Thank you, everybody.
See, guys, you're helping Greg.
Yes.
He's taking the best little bits and pieces from everyone. All right, what else? You know what, Greg? I actually want to talk about a sponsor we have right now. Let's take a minute, guys, and I want to talk about M Help Desk. You can find them at podnuts.com/mhelpdesk. And I'm going to pull up the site right now. They are your solution for service calls and handling your invoicing, your organization of service calls on computers. If you're overwhelmed with service calls and repairs, go from chaos to control in 30 days or less. Money back guaranteed. It's podnuts.com, M Help Desk. It's the letter M Help Desk. Never forget anything again. Get organized quickly and easily. Reduce stress. Save more time. Same day service, client support. Hassle-free daily data backups. Some of the cool features of M Help Desk is they have mobile apps, which you got to have these days to do your tracking. There's service request tracking. You could load up a customer database and have easy access to all of your guys and girls. If you need help with your scheduling, there's scheduling and dispatch, a whole part of the app for that. Estimates and invoices. It has QuickBooks support for those QuickBooks lovers out there. My favorite is reports. You know, reports are what basically allowed me to estimate the value of my business and sell it for what it was actually worth. If it wasn't for reports, I would have been pretty much screwed. So you could create some awesome reports with M Help Desk, charts, and different things so you could actually show how your progress and how you're doing. It even has marketing tools. It's all risk-free. What you want to do is go to podnuts.com/mhelpdesk, click the big red try us for free button, and you get a 30-day free trial, no credit card needed. Check it out, use it, beat on it, and see if it is for you. But all I ask you to do is go and try the 30-day free trial and use the link. If you want to support Podnuts, use the link podnuts.com/mhelpdesk. And I hope you guys enjoy it and it helps your business. And thanks, M Help Desk, for supporting Podnuts and being a sponsor. Back to Greg.
I'm watching your video. It's great. I never watched Justin TV. I don't know. Maybe they changed their name here recently. But I never watched your live broadcast before.
Yeah, a lot of guys don't. You know, I'd say over 90% of them don't. But and here's the thing. Video is still, to deliver it in bulk, it's still tough. You need a lot of bandwidth. So I'm perfectly happy with the audio, but I'm recording everything in video just so I can have it. And we are starting to put it on the Roku box, and I'm going to make it available on the website real soon. But it's just video is a beast, and audio is nice to work with. So I hope to get the video out to everybody soon so they could see all the stuff that we show and, you know, see Greg's beautiful face on the webcam.
I was okay with every part of it, but doing the video.
Hey, you're doing fine, man. You got a great picture, too. It's coming in clear.
I'm going to skip over some stuff in our notes, and I kind of want to hit a little bit more about the technology that we'd end up using on the website. Because Eric is trying to think 20 some miles away from me.
Okay. And how did you meet up with Eric again?
We worked together on a help desk down in Atlanta.
Okay. That's right.
When I moved to Georgia 12 years ago, I went straight into a help desk, 150 some technicians. And I ended up managing, being the night manager on the desk. And right. Eric was one of my team leads.
Oh, cool. Good.
So,
seems like a good guy.
Yeah, we worked together and I counted on him a lot back then. And I knew if he was available, he'd be somebody I could count on, you know, now with this new project.
Very awesome.
So one of the things that we need to do is figure out how we're going to do telephone on a budget. Because we need to be able to relay, have like a telephone PBX system. And I came up with some software by NCH Software. They're an Australian software company. And they have a virtual PBX, a software-based PBX system. And if you download the Windows 2000 version, not the one that's on the front page when you hit the download button, but you download the next older version, when it times out on the trial, it gives you the option to downgrade and use the free version. Uh-huh. And what the free version has is it still allows you to run a single inbound line.
Okay.
So by having a single inbound telephone line, that's all we have right now. The software is pretty inexpensive, under $200. And the clients that they have that go with it are called Express Talk. And so by running a PBX on my gateway computer, not brand, but it's my, I went to a router on my computer. Okay. With internet connection sharing. I'll tell you an interesting thing about that in a second. But the PBX then, or using a VPN connection, Eric can be on an extension and we can transfer calls, pick up calls, stuff like that.
Wow, that's kind of weird.
And the guys should really check it out and think about using it in their home, and especially if they have a friend or a family member that could answer phones for them from time to time. I mean, if you're only are handling one inbound line, I think you can handle up to 10 extensions. So you can put an extension, a software extension phone on any computer in any room and anywhere in the world that you can set up a VPN connection to your home.
That's pretty cool. I didn't even know that about the software. So technically you could have like, I don't know, your aunt or your sister who is like just in a completely different location, be like the receptionist, perhaps.
Yeah.
And she'll say, hold on, I'm going to try his extension. I'm going to call him now. And they just hit like a couple digits and then boom, your phone rings. Is that how it works?
Right.
Very cool.
The PBX you can set up to go into a rotary mode. So however many extensions you have on, it will roll through and ring those. Just like in a business with a real hardware PBX system.
Right. Right. Very cool. I'm seeing NCH more and more for different things. They're spreading themselves around, I'll tell you that.
They do a lot of software and video. I've used their product. The GUI that they have on their software is pretty nice. And that's what I liked about their softphone was a bigger display and easier to read, because when you're turning around trying to open up a program that looks like a telephone interface, you want to be able to read what a caller display says and find the buttons so that you can answer the call.
Wow. That's pretty cool. And definitely a good thing. Definitely people to use. I know I had the situation. I was hoping that when I had my business, it would be nice to have somebody answer phones for me. And the fact that they could be in a remote location is pretty cool. Good one. Good tip.
We talk about log me in, to set up your VPN so that you can work with remote connections and I'll have them secured from the outside world, then you want to use Hamachi, Hamachi 2, that's by LogMeIn. I think they support up to 17 computers on one free personal use account.
Okay.
So that gets you your free VPN, and then I told you how to get your free PBX software.
Nice. Beautiful. Thanks, Greg.
The one other thing while we're talking about it, a lot of these things, if you use them on your personal network, I like to think that my website is going to be my business card, and that my home or business network is my location. Because then when I go and I'm working with somebody, if I have all that technology running at home, and I can, with my laptop, go to them and open it up and show them how I've got a VPN connection to my home, how I can answer phones from my home, then they could run a VPN connection from their office to their home.
Huh.
And one thing that no one mentioned when they talked about, I'm trying to remember the software now. And I'm in the wrong place on my screen. Crash Plan.
Yes.
Crash Plan was mentioned, I think, some time ago. It was recently to me because I'm going through your podcast backwards.
We're always talking about it, actually. We just talked about it on Android App Addicts, I think.
But, oh, okay. See, I'm not there yet on that. but Crash Plan, I don't know if you've talked about it. The neat thing that I saw about it is it allows you in the free version, it allows you to back up to a remote location. So if a business owner has, he could have a computer at home and set up a VPN connection, and he can do offsite backup of his business system to his home.
Right.
And that's, for free. Of course, you get to make money setting it up for him.
Right.
Which is the part I like.
Nice.
So
yeah, I don't know if we talked about that on Crash Plan. That's a really good suggestion.
Yeah. So anytime you've got two locations, you could do offsite backup by just running your backup through a VPN connection. And then I don't know if anyone's talked about, but getting your network, being able to find your network on the internet, there's free DNS services out there. Dyn.com, it used to be dynedns.com,
right.
It will still forward. You can get a free subdomain. And so, that gives you a name to attach to your home network. So what I had to do to support the PBX system is I needed to put a Windows computer as my router. And I know that not everyone's crazy about that, but I ended up with a tremendous benefit as soon as I did it. And that was, I had tried over the last year a couple of residential routers, and I'm paying my AT&T service is DSL 6 megabyte, and I've never been able to get 3 megabyte download speed.
Okay.
But when I got rid of the residential routers and did a direct USB connection from my DSL modem to my computer, I went to 5.7 megabytes.
Wow. That's great for you.
Yeah. So I'm actually getting what I'm paying for now.
Right.
So those home routers can eat up a lot of your bandwidth and poor performance.
I did not know that. Now, what software are you running on your PC to make it a router?
Well, I started out just with a Windows 95 computer, and I've been downgrading on the hardware to see how small I could go and still maintain the router functionality and support
Hang on. Let's get the eight rings out of the way. If anybody doesn't know by now, it's 8 o'clock. All right. So you started with 95 and you said you worked down from there?
Windows XP, and I worked down in hardware.
Oh, Windows XP.
Yeah, I'm
not,
sorry.
Not Windows. Okay, I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm sorry. To me, XP is now like 95. It's old stuff.
All right, so you work down on the hardware. So what do you have now?
I'm down to a Pentium 3 laptop.
Sweet. And that's your router.
And still supporting it. Yeah.
Cool.
So I have that in my kitchen. I've got a little desk area in the kitchen, and I got it down to where it's all just on a 14-inch P3 notebook with a gig of RAM running Windows XP. Just now, so far, I'm still using just internet connection sharing to distribute to my Switch from. And I'm running the Antom PBX software. I've added Xamp, which is distributed by Adobe Apache Friends, and that gives you a prepackaged Apache 2 web server with PHP and Perl and everything. Wow. There's a mail server and everything all bundled into one download and install.
So you're hosting your own website?
I'm not doing it now. I will put some stuff there for demo purposes for my customers.
Gotcha.
And if I need to offer, if I need to be able to get files quickly to a customer, then I can drop them on that server, because it's right, rather than upload them to the internet and then have them download them, why not just go ahead and drop them on my server and let people pick them up right from there?
Right, right. Good idea. Cool.
So, and then the Dyn DNS, client gives me a subdomain name that I can, you know, create a link from my website, or, you know, send an email to somebody. They don't have to figure out my IP address, which changes all the time.
Right.
And so I'm really pleased with the fact that the laptop, I was running it on a P4 before I put it on the laptop. And I noticed that once I got the system, since it's just basically doing an internet connection sharing, I noticed that my hard drive on the Pentium 4 desktop just would hardly ever run, you know, as far as accessing data. Uh-huh. But was sitting there all day long spinning. So I thought, you know what I should do is, and so I ordered off of eBay, I ordered a CF, IDE to CF adapter, bought a high-speed compact flash memory card, and I've got that in there so that I'm running Windows off of a compact flash.
Are you really?
I've got a solid-state hard drive.
As long as it lasts.
Well, we'll see. Right. I know when I put it into service, so we'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah, that's an interesting experiment.
But as it stands now, the only moving part now, it's got a modular drive bay, so I took the CD-ROM drive out. So the only moving part in the laptop now is the cooling fan.
Right. That's the way to do it. Smart. Good one. What else you got, Greg?
Well, where are we at? When I got to the idea of doing, well, I turned my website on last week, and so I had Google AdWords queued up for a couple days before that, not live, but, you know, in queue on this date at midnight, go live, you know?
Yeah.
And I was doing all the finishing work, getting everything tweaked, so that I thought I could handle some traffic, and Google AdWords goes live and nothing happens. So for everybody, when Google says that, you know, they're going to immediately start putting ads out, they were only putting out, I think, 14 ads a day for the first couple of days. And now after a week, they're up to, I think, about 140. They called them impressions a day.
I gotcha. Now, it might have something to do with your budget. You know, I mean, if you could tell Google, just, I want you to flat out show this as much as you want until my budget expended, or you could tell it to, like, spread it out. My budget is $20 for the month. Spread it out over the 20 to 30 days. It depends how you set it up, I think. Because when I turn on AdWords, it's on. Like 5 minutes, bam, my ad's up there, and it's there. So.
For different things. I budgeted $10 a day. And I set a maximum bid of $2.39. I heard someone mention that in one of the podcasts.
Yeah, that sounds good. It depends on your area, but that's about what I was doing.
Yeah, it's not working for me. I've had a week to kind of look at it and try to figure out what's happening. What is being shown now? You know, they prompt you to put in a lot of AdWords. And then even after I had them in, I think over 100 keywords, you know, they wanted me to put another 100 keywords in. And I didn't do that, but I thought I had, you know, all the combinations that would be applicable for my business. Mm-hmm. And what's being shown now are secondary keywords. Mm-hmm. So my budget's not high enough.
I got you. Either AdWords does take tweaking. You don't want to get caught up in making your keywords too general. In other words, you don't want to spend money for the word computer. You want to spend money for the word computer repair. You don't want to spend money for the word computer parts, because that could mean somebody wants to build their own machine. They have a broken machine and they want to fix it themselves. So you got to really pick and choose your keywords and not get too general and not end up spending a ton of money and thinking AdWords doesn't work. But again, if the competition is high in your area, you're going to spend more, and it might not be feasible for you to do it. If competition isn't so high in different areas, then AdWords might be a good choice to get you some traffic. I mean, it so depends on location and competition these days.
Yeah. Well, what I kind of diagnosed was when I was setting it up, it let me pick my geographical area. I expanded it out to 30 miles. I really wanted to be 20, but most of the towns around Gainesville, and if you go north, you're going up into the mountains, much more remote. I wanted to pick up those towns because I knew I wouldn't have the competition that I had right in Gainesville. So I picked up those towns. But the problem with Gainesville and Hull County is we're not part of the government statistical metropolitan Atlanta area, but Google puts our county as part of Metro Atlanta. So when you go through and set up Google AdWords for this area, anybody in Atlanta that says, I want to advertise in Metro Atlanta, they're getting coverage in my county.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm 50 miles from Atlanta, too.
Yeah, but you could set up radiuses. Have you seen that? It used to anyway. You could just make a circle. And actually, I think you could even change the shape now. So you could put your radius wherever you want. I mean, you don't have to type in a zip code. You actually draw on the map where you want it to target.
Right. But these IT companies are down in Atlanta are paying big bucks.
I see.
And when I do a search in Gainesville, I'm getting Atlanta-based companies.
I see. You're just saying. I see. So it hurts your competition for you.
So
it sucks.
I have to pay Atlanta rates to advertise in Gainesville.
I see. That's okay. That's super lame.
Oh. So, guys, when if you're near a metropolitan area, you'll have to research it and see if that's going to be a problem.
Right. Right.
So what it forces me into doing is, if I'm going to pay Atlanta rates, then I might as well do work in Atlanta.
I guess so.
But I don't want to drive to Atlanta, so I'm going to focus on remote support.
Okay.
So so then I was thinking, how am I going to do this and test this? And I'm hosting through GoDaddy, or a derivative of it. I ought to mention, I haven't heard it mentioned on any of the daily podcasts. If you're wanting to get into being a domain reseller, resell all of basically the GoDaddy product, you can use their private label reseller arm is wildwestdomains.com.
Okay.
So you can sign up there for $100, $200 a year and resell that stuff. And where it may be handy for some guys is you can, if you pay, become a reseller, you set your prices. So you don't have to be at GoDaddy prices. They can be higher. you say, I'll get you set up with whatever services you need, because, you know, GoDaddy does more than just web hosting. And, you know, but it's your own domain. It's your own company name. So you can set it up sort of like a web store in adjacent to, you know, to your business name. And then you create their own login and everything. So you can access their account and set, you know, set up DNS and do those things for them, but it's still their account and they're paying the bills.
Right. So you're just reselling web hosting.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm not a fan of GoDaddy. Their interface, mainly their selling techniques, but all my domains are registered with GoDaddy, but my hosting, and like I said it before, the only reason my domains are still there is because I got to pay to take them all off and transfer them. So I just kind of, just for the sake of sanity, I left them there for now. But I'm really liking HostGator. And I use all my hosting is HostGator for all my sites. And I like that they use cPanel. I love cPanel. And that's the interface you get from HostGator. And I've not done HostGator reselling, but everything else I've done on HostGator I like. So that's my recommendation. I can't really fully recommend the reselling because I haven't done it. But I try to get as much away from GoDaddy as I can. Not a big fan these days.
Well, there we got to all throw stuff at the big guys, you know.
Yeah.
That's just the way it goes.
I know.
But you know, their service is stable, and the I've been with them. Gee, 12 or more. Whenever they came online. And as an entity, I've been with them that long, and you know, I don't have problems with them, you know. So their interface drives me crazy because periodically they redesign it, and then just you sit there for an hour trying to figure out how to do something that should take 5 minutes.
I know exactly. Now Dan in the chat room is not a fan of HostGator reselling, but
okay.
that is one man's opinion. I hear you, Dan. All right, what else?
Well, one thing about GoDaddy right now, or I was a reseller at Wild West, and then I stopped. So then they move you off onto another domain. So, but they all go to SecureServer.net. So yeah, so I'll just say GoDaddy for a generic. But right now, when I went to a new paid web hosting service, with them, I got $100 free. Google AdWords, $50 Bing, and $50 Facebook. So if you at $6.95 a month, I'm pretty much my first year is paid for and with what I was going to spend at Google anyway.
I got you.
So
yeah, it's those $100 AdWords things are available at other places too.
Okay. I'm not a GoDaddy employee. And like I said, I'm not.
I know you're trying to give good advice. Oh, Dan does have a retort in the chat room. He says the VPS or dedicated hosting is good. Shared hosting, he's not a fan. So just so you know.
Well, they were really cheap if you were doing Windows.
Yeah.
They were really cheap on Windows. I mean, they were way below everybody else. They didn't, when they started offering Windows hosting, they were offering at the same price as Linux hosting.
Are you talking about GoDaddy or HostGator?
GoDaddy.
Oh. When I was talking about Dan, did I say HostGator or GoDaddy? I always say them wrong. Well, I meant HostGator if I did say GoDaddy. But no, GoDaddy, you were saying the Windows was cheaper than Linux?
No, same price.
Oh, okay.
And back, you know, 5-10 years ago, you always paid more for NT server, you know.
Interesting. That's good.
So, but I got away from that. Like I said, I've been working with dual boot systems for over 12 years now. So started out with Red Hat and currently Ubuntu. So
really?
Yep.
Good for you. Do you listen to Linux for the rest of us?
Haven't yet. I've got all these podcasts to go through for daily.
I know. You might like them. Man. You might like them. When you're done daily, check them out because you're going to run out eventually.
I mean, I'm still building a business. I need all the tips I can get from, you know, from daily.
Of course. No, I'm with you.
So anyway, now I'm forcing myself into a situation where I'm going to either myself or somebody else, we're going to be having to man the chat and the website, you know?
Right.
And that means I've got a lot of downtime, or I'll call it bandwidth, available. So I was thinking, since the community had gotten me interested, gave me the idea that maybe I ought to focus on more live support, because that was something nobody was doing. It gave me an edge in a market that is pretty saturated from my point of view.
Right.
I used to do a lot of online work from sites where you would go, you know, sign up and put your cert, and then they would send out and you would bid on a job. And I'm in, you know, 5 years ago, I was doing a tremendous amount of work locally off of websites, you know, that, you know, offered national service, and I subscribed as a freelancer to them. But when Best Buy came to town, that just dried up almost overnight.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, man. Well, that sucks.
So I got Best Buy and the office box, you know, stores that have the in-store techs. And then I've got, you know, and then I've got a dozen or so guys in Gainesville, not counting the outlying communities, you know, in the county.
Right, right. So it's competition.
So it's a good competition. So I've got to refocus to Atlanta, and I've got to refocus to remote support and give it a try.
Okay.
So I started setting up this phone system that will allow me to expand and everything. I thought, why couldn't I, if guys needed it, why couldn't I answer calls for them and support their live chat requests while they were out of the office?
Right. It's a good idea.
So I kind of contacted you, 2 months ago, and said, I got this idea, and what do you think of it? And you said, well, I don't have any market research or experience with it, but it sounds like it might be an idea worth pursuing. So I've kind of gone down that road that I would prototype it on my website and see if the technology was there that I could do it cost effectively as a single operator.
So you're now offering the service.
Well, thank you for leading me into that. Then a couple days ago, I really started wanting to build the website for this other service that was a tech-to-tech type of support site, you know?
Right.
I have not been part of the forums, and I haven't been a part of the TeamSpeak just because I've got so much going on here, mm-hmm. you know? Anyone want to email me, feel free, but, you know, don't look for me to show up on those mediums right away, because I kind of got my hands full right now.
Sure.
But what I hear talked about them on Podnuts Daily is, it's a fantastic community, because you just listen to the guys that come on the show and they're helping each other behind the scenes.
Right.
And I said, you know, I can only do so much. If I get, I don't know, 5 or 6, depending upon if they would park timers and they want me to answer the phone during the day while they're at work, you know, because they want to grow their business and get out of where they're at and be full time. But how do they do it? And I thought, you know, but I can only handle a handful or so people. And then I have to hire staff and I become a call center. And I know the downsides of being on a call center, because I was on a call center with 150 techs.
Right.
And it's a great resource, but you have quality control problems and you end up having to have someone just manage the people and, you know, and keep track of them.
Sure.
So I thought, you know, I would love to participate. I'd love to, if I wanted to be able to go out and work with some business customers, I'd love to have somebody able to handle my calls. And when I'm here doing remote stuff, I'd love to be able to help somebody else. So I thought, I could be a participant, but why don't I put it out there and see if the guys want to take this community a step further and form a cooperative and somehow try to organize where we support each other with our phones and live chat, you know, our live support. And, you know, there's ways we got to figure out how you do the money and stuff. But anyway, I ended up just doing a Google Sites thing, forwarding the domain to it, and kind of outlining what Tech Desk. I came up with a domain name a couple months ago, techdeskservice.com.
Techdeskservice.com. Mm-hmm. So it's basically a site where, so is that live right now?
Yep. Okay. Yep. And I basically put up a proposal or an outline of what it could be, you know, what, how it might work. And then I put a contact page on that they could do posts on. So if guys kind of look at the idea and think about it for a day or two and have suggestions on what would or wouldn't work, why they can do some postings on it. And then I put a little listing up for myself that said, you know, this is what I would, the services I could offer and how much I would do them for. And so I thought, you know, if we could maybe organize it so that people put their ads on there, what they could do, we'd have to go to a virtual or cloud PBX system, not something that we're running on somebody's home server, to be able to handle it, because who knows how many people could end up being part of it. So, you know, there would be a monthly cost with having a virtual telephone line to a cloud PBX system that would run maybe $25 to $30 a month, depending upon the number of participants. The email ticket chat help desk support system we know is free. And in both of those systems, we could create what would they be departments. So you could say there were 50 guys that wanted to participate, but there's five guys you want being part of your call support team. You could just include them as part of your, you know, when you're not there, when you can't take the call and they're logged in because they're available, they could take the call.
It's very interesting. It's very interesting. I think guys would be interested in this. So you all help each other when you're like indisposed at the moment.
Right. And then, you know, some of us only want to do hardware, you know, and, you know, I've worked help desk, so I'm perfectly comfortable all day long to be on the phone. You know, I hate calling people, but as long as the phone's ringing, I'll answer it and I'll help them until I can't take another breath. So, you know, and so we've got different strengths on whether we want people coming to us, whether we want to go out and meet them, whether we want to never see them and work with them remotely. So it could be that there would be guys that only want to do mobile. And if they could have someone fix their stuff, you know, handle all the other stuff, they'd be willing to pay something for it. And there would be guys that might never want to do mobile repair, but want to get in the business. They understand computers and can support them over the phone. So they might never want to be a shop. They just might want to log in for a few hours a day and help people.
Right, right. I think it's a good idea.
So I put it out there for everybody that's listening to the podcast to kind of think about what you'd need, what you would contribute, how would we work out a credit system or a fee system? How would we make it equitable? Because we've got to, you always have to, even though we all have the best intents, we all at some point in time might want to game the system, you know? So we have to keep it fair and equitable for everybody.
Absolutely. It's an interesting idea. And I think, well, this is definitely the place to talk about it. It's now you have two domains in your notes. Is it techdeskservice.com or techsupportservice.com?
Techdeskservice.com.
Okay. Techdeskservice.com, guys. Check it out. Contact Greg. Tell him what you think. You guys might come up with something good, and then you could be a sponsor of Podnuts one day.
I'm not there yet.
That'll be awesome. Anything else you want to say about that, Greg?
Do we have some stuff? I don't know how long we've been on. Do we, you have some business you need to take care of? So I'll look at my notes for a minute.
Yeah, well, I could, I'll queue up the emails here. I don't have any more sponsors to talk about. I actually can talk about Screen Connect, who I do want to mention again. If you guys haven't checked out Screen Connect, go to just go to screenconnect.com, straight there. It's a great remote support software package, and they actually have some unique ways of doing remote support, which some of the other services don't offer. For example, it's hosted on your machine. So if you are worried about having a connection to when you want to do remote support, having to log into somebody else's servers to access your machines, your remote support machines, you don't have to worry about that with this. It's all hosted on your machine. So you set that up. It can be branded to your company name. So when you boot log in to a customer's machine, it's going to say, you know, whatever your company name is, that's the company they're going to see. They're not going to see any other branding on there except what you want. And also, it runs on several platforms. There's tons of updates being done on it. They're a bunch of great guys. The support is great. And when I set it up, it was very easy to get it so that a customer does not have to jump through hoops to get access to your computer to get support from you. You could set it up as a one-click thing if you want, and you could even set up unattended support. So check out Screen Connect at screenconnect.com. Back to Greg.
Oh. Okay, you say we don't have any emails or any of that other stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, no, we definitely do. I thought you had more stuff, but yeah,
I've covered most of the big stuff,
and, totally.
And so anything else might be anticlimactic, and we might want to just save it for another show.
Sure, we do have emails, and the first one is from Richard. He says, "Good day, Steve. You may remember several years ago I wrote you about IT repairs and whether you thought qualifications were necessary for the industry. Since that time, I've developed a very small business. In fact, our tax office considers it a hobby. I service a very small population but very large area. We have about 15,000 people in this area with a radius of around 200 kilometers. I am about 300 kilometers west from Sydney, Australia. I do virus removal software, hardware installation, and some troubleshooting. I spend a lot of time doing customer backups. I usually do an image using Acronis TrueImage or Paragon, a Windows backup, and a manual copy. Excuse me. I'm probably paranoid, but in this area, you only have to have one thing go bad and the whole area will know, ruining any business instantly. You had an interview recently with one of the guys from an IT magazine in America who discussed a customer who was an account and did not know where her data was stored. It sounds familiar. The hardest thing about doing backups for domestic customers is the files are usually all over the place. You cannot just assume the customer has stored their photos in the pictures folder of their account. Some of my customers are aware of cloud backups, and I think that's great. I also work at a local IT retailer, which helps supplement my income. I certainly could not exist on the income from my hobby business. Anyway, thanks for the show. It is very interesting and informative, and that's regards from Richard. Hey, Richard, I really appreciate sending the email. So he's just actually sharing some information with us. Doesn't even have a particular question. I like when people share like that. Thanks very much. This is a voicemail. Let me make sure the sound is all fired up here and ready to play. And here we go with a voicemail.
Hey, Steve. Dude, I love your show, man. Awesome. You guys tonight are freaking awesome. Wanted to share a little tip, man. I don't know if you guys knew about it. But Windows 7 has this thing called the Problem Steps Recorder. You get to it by just typing in the search there at the start menu, PSR. And basically what it does is it can record your screenshot. So if you're trying to show somebody how to do something, you can record yourself. Or if you're trying to see what they're doing, maybe for remote support, it's a really good tool, man. I think you should check it out. All right, thanks. Bye.
Thank you. You got to tell us your name next time you call in. I didn't know that. Problem Steps Recorder, PSR, at the start menu. Did you hear about that, Greg? Did you know? I didn't know that either. That's an awesome tip. Do little quick little tutorials on, like, here's how you create a folder on your desktop. Good voicemail. Oh, it must be 8:30. Right. Next one is from Gabe. He says, check out this cute little clip in which my daughter plays a technician. Now, this does have some marketing value. That's why I think it's a good idea. I'm going to show you guys this. And he made a little video with his daughter being a computer repair tech. And here we go. It's a 1 minute video. And it says Technica Tech Support, a short movie. Technica Tech Support, he shows his business. A guy walks in the door, puts his computer down on the desk.
Welcome to Technica Tech Support. How can I help you?
My computer is driving me crazy. I'm getting all sorts of weird pop-ups. It's doing weird stuff. I'm just frustrated with it. Now, how much is it going to cost to fix it?
Must be better than just $80.
And how long is it going to take to fix it?
3 days or less.
Really? Wow! That's amazing. All right. Here you go.
That's not funny. I don't know. It just makes me laugh. But it's actually a good idea. I mean, the thing I like about that video, it creates this reality for your company. I mean, no matter if it is like a technique. I mean, it creates a reality with your company that, like, you are normal people. You know, you have family people. You're a family person. You're into, like, treating your customers right. And I think it's a good thing to do. Maybe put a little video like that on your website. What do you think about something like that, Greg?
I wanted her to take the side of the case off and have all these things come flying out.
Maybe in the sequel. But Gabe, I think it was a cool video you made, good idea. And even if it's just for fun, that was pretty cool. Thanks for sharing it. This is from Indie PC Solutions. He says, Steve, let me start by telling you that I really appreciate everything you do for computer repair techs. My wife urged me to look into doing something with my hobby interest in computers and IT. I'm a chemist by formal education. I decided I would look into starting my own computer repair business on the side. I purchased an A+ textbook and started doing some reading on my own. I found TechNibble and was amazed at the resources that were available there. I later found your podcast through the forums on TechNibble, and I've been listening to as many podcasts as I possibly can. Your podcasts and forums have been a tremendous resource for me, and have really helped me to gain so much knowledge. It's been almost overwhelming to the point I feel almost insignificant in the amount of knowledge that I don't have at this point, but I'm sure I'll get there eventually. As of right now, I still don't officially have a business. I've been spending the past several months learning and getting some things together for a professional feel when I do officially launch my side business. I have set up a Google Voice phone number, decided on a business name, purchased a business logo from 99designs.com, and recently just registered a domain from GoDaddy along with web hosting. Now I need to actually set up a professional-looking website, and I know that I want to purchase your tech site builder tool. And he wants to get the videos also. Thank you for your time and everything you do is from Josh. Josh, awesome, man. I'm really glad. I love when people, you know, write me emails and say that the shows have helped them out. I cannot even take a fraction of the credit because, as you can tell, most of the information given on the shows is not from me, but from everybody who comes on as guests, people like Greg and all the other guests that come on the show. I really appreciate those guys. So I'm glad that Podnuts helped you, and he found it through TechNibble. I think everybody should definitely go to TechNibble. It is the best companion site for Podnuts that I can imagine. I mean, we do the podcasting, he does the writing, and it's a good 1-2 punch for all you computer repair techs out there. Josh, you should also check out Dan Hand's site, the Computer Repair Business Owners of America, the association. So it's ACRBO, the Association for Computer Repair Business Owners. Association for Computer Repair Business Owners. Check that out. That is another awesome site. You get a lot of discounts on items, and you become a member. You get cool stuff, and you get to put the totally awesome-looking Dan Hand logo, the ACRBO logo on your website, and it actually does a lot for your professionalism, I think. So thank you very much for the email. Let me see. I think we got one more. Yeah, this is from Latvi. I'll read this one. That should be it for now. And then we're going to do another Podnuts Daily in a couple days because I missed last week. Me and John never connected up. So it was definitely a big blank spot where Podnuts Daily used to be. We will fill that with Eric Ardini coming up in a couple days. But so I'll read this one, and I'll read the rest of the emails on the next show. Latfi, the reballer, says, "Hey, Steve, and hello to all Podnuts listeners. I just want to say that on episode Daily 328, when Jeremy from Fastlane is going to put hot glue to hold a USB socket on a mobile phone, I can confirm that it may make a connection, but it's too weak to hold the socket in place. You'll need a strong glue like I-A-L-R-I-D-A-T-E. Auradate is apparently a strong glue. Or something industrial and even that may not hold for long. I find soldering USB sockets on mobile devices easy to do with an infrared rework machine like a cheap T862 Poluity." Wow. Latfi's really, you know, cranking out the gear here. I have not even heard of a T832 Poluity. P-U-H-U-I-T-I. Pahui. Pahuidi. Check it out. It can do the job easily because infrared won't melt the plastic inside the socket. Or if you have a very pointy soldering tip with a magnifying glass and some help with flux, it can work too. Flux is essential as it will drive the solder on the iron tip to the pads without making a solder bridge between them. And if they do bridge, you can remove the solder using a soldering braid that I meant. A soldering braid I mentioned called Gutwick. I definitely would practice on a spare phone first before doing the customers. Awesome, Avi. Those are great tips, man. Great tips for practically microscopic soldering, it seems like. Thank you very much, Latfi. All right. And also check out Latfi's site at laptopreballing.co.uk. Laptopreballing.co.uk. See, guys, I'm trying to get all your sites right. I'm doing it all from memory. All right. Greg, I really appreciate you coming on, man. It's been fun.
Well, thank you very much. I wanted to say... I'm not a website designer. I'm not, you know, so guys, if you got some suggestions, I want to be HTML coded because there's like 25 going on 30 pages in the background there. So I wanted to keep a graphical front end to function like a single page, but then have some depth to it. Because one thing I did notice was after I signed up for Google AdWords, like within a day or two, my site was completely indexed and I'm getting hits from search engines, not getting them clicks from Google AdWords yet because I'm not paying enough, but I'm getting search engine hits.
Oh, that's good. Getting something.
So if you want to get your site online fast, just, you know, use Google AdWords for a short period of time and that'll get it indexed. I found that out. But anyway, any tips on how I tone the site down or make it, I'm concerned it's a little bit too cartoonish. So if someone's got some tips for me, I'd appreciate it. Just email me at my website. And one last tip was check out on my website if you're trying to figure out how to do a online service agreement. Zoho gets mentioned occasionally. Zoho has an app called Creator. And it's a really nice graphic interface, and you can create up to 3 database applications on their website with 2 user access for free. And so I made a very, very comprehensive form to get a lot of information that gets me to capture a signature and that they agree to my terms of service and my understanding about malware and stuff like that. And then we can go back into that database and add passwords and all the stuff we need before we, you know, work on the computer. So, yeah, cool. Check that out and check out the website if you need an online database and you don't want to get into doing MySQL on, you know, on a website, you know, and trying to do PHP admin and all
right,
that stuff.
Right. Cool. Awesome. And when you do, when you guys do contact Greg, tell him to join the Podnuts forums. Jeez.
How am I going to get that squeezed in my day, Steve?
It will make you more productive.
I'm listening to the videos while I'm doing, or you know, I'm listening to your podcast while I'm working on stuff. And
I know.
Now I'm trying to do dual channel there. Yeah. I got to stop and read the forums. When the forums go audio, or if someone knows of a program that I can have read the forums to me, then I'm all set.
All right, good. We'll find a program for you. All right. Well, I really appreciate coming on, Greg. And also, I appreciate everybody else who has been listening and watching and streaming and downloading and Rokuing, however you're getting the content. It's totally appreciated. Hope you enjoyed the show. That's it for Podness Day for this week, and we'll see you next time. Music for Podness Day provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.